Welcome to the OneMed Learn podcast.
Hello and welcome to another podcast from Manchester Medical School. I am Dr. Genevieve Shimwell, clinical lecturer and GP in the Manchester area. And I have two very important guests with me today, and I'll let them introduce themselves. Our podcast today is discussing the journey of being a doctor with a disability. So I'll hand over to our first guest first of all. Welcome, Georgia.
Hi, my name is Georgia. I'm a final year medical student at Manchester, and I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Hello, I'm Imran. I'm a GP and I was a student at the University of Liverpool. I did spend a year at Manchester for 1 year as well. And I'm also excited to be here.
And thank you both very much for coming. It's a privilege to have you both here. So as we've touched on, this podcast is really discussing about doctors living with a disability, but we're going to focus today on how that impacted or their journeys of both Georgia and Imran before starting medical school. And we'll let you both have a little time to talk about your story, if that's okay. Imran, over to you, if you're happy to start.
Yeah, thank you very much. So I was born with a disability and have lived with that disability all my life. And growing up, my dad, even at the age of 5, was telling me, you are going to be a doctor. So when it actually came to it, I didn't actually think of anything else and I didn't have anything else in my head. So I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to have to be a doctor. Wow. And it was quite interesting because they were always sort of like, saw me as, you know, just the other kid, not someone with a disability. Yes, obviously they were aware of that, but they pushed me as someone who didn't have a disability and felt that there were no barriers and that I should be applying to medicine, which is good, really. And that's kind of the mindset I had. So regarding my disability, at the moment, so my body has deteriorated, but before medical school, I never used to use crutches. So I used to have a very obvious physical disability where I'd walk with a very obvious gait, so a limp. And to the point where, you know, people in the streets would make comments, sort of, you know, nasty comments and things like that. And I kind of just got used to that and numb to that. It does affect me, and to this day, it still affects me. However, it's just something that I've had to deal with. So I applied to med school. So I applied around, when did I apply? Gosh, I'm old. So around 2004. So nearly 20 years ago. I think that the kind of the benefit is as a doctor, or a person with a disability going into the field of medicine, is that you appreciate the patient's journey. So for myself, and that's really important. And I guess that's highlighted when I applied. So we had UCAS forms. I think they still have them, don't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, still have UCAS. So we had UCAS and I applied to that. I mentioned my disability as well. And yeah, so that was kind of, I guess obviously the positive of it is it kind of stood me out to say, I've had these challenges in my life and it's, you know, these personal touches in my life, which sort of have shown me a path to medicine is what I want to be. So whether that I've seen doctors interact with me, whether that's, you know, seeing, you know, how the healthcare system as a team has worked, and these have been really positive. So, you know, there is a, you know, it wasn't all doom and gloom. There's a lot of positive from actually applying with a disability. And, you know, I came from a family, so the family I had in the UK, so I had my brother and I had my two older cousins, and all of them went into medicine. So I felt like I had to go into medicine. Being Muslim as well, we get pushed into medicine. There's a few careers we get pushed into, medicine being one of them. So I kind of had to do it. I didn't want to be kind of the failure of the family. So there was a lot of pressure on me already. But I think from a disability point of view, it didn't impact me too much, I guess because at that age, I didn't focus on it too much. So the main impact happened when, what happened was I had surgery at about 18 years old. So 18 years old, I had surgery. So originally, I didn't get into medical school because my predicted grades weren't very good based on my GCSEs. GCSEs, for the younger viewers, is an exam we used to do back in the day. Are they still called GCSEs?
Mine were called GCSEs. Yes.
Oh, were they? But they're all in numbers now, aren't they, though?
They're graded differently.
They're graded.
I think they're still called GCSEs.
I can't keep up. Okay. So, yeah. So, my predicted grades weren't good. So, originally when I applied, I didn't get in. And then I had surgery, but I'd got my grades then. So, I wrote to all the universities and said, would you consider, I've got my grades, would you consider... giving me an interview. Mm. And only, I think, four of them replied to say yes. I think the rest didn't, which was enough for me. So then I came to Manchester Uni for a year, starting biomedical sciences. So my plan was to do 3 years biomedical sciences and then go into medicine. So I was always planning to do that, but I applied whilst I was in Manchester. Mm. So I couldn't reapply to Manchester Medicine. And then obviously went there. So... I think because I spent a lot of time in CAST as well, so sort of I spent a year out and 9 months of that was in CAST. And I think that was kind of, I put that in my UCAST as well, that I've had these issues and this is my journey. And I suppose that gave my disability the personal touch, and they showed the personal touch, it showed the personal touch to those who are on the other end of the UCAST reading those forms.
Yeah.
So I think that's the positive of it. And I kind of had to relearn how to walk again. But I was so determined at that age. Like, I'm really lazy now. Like, so lazy. It's untrue. And I think GP has done that to me, to be fair. So, but yes. And I think that's one of the key things. And I think I got to Liverpool University. So I think I went to the Hull York interview. They didn't really ask too much about it. So the only question I remember from them was, if you had a budget, what would you spend that money on? And obviously for me, it was using my disability to say, you know, this is quite personal to me, that's what I would spend it on. So and I guess that kind of stood out for me. So actually, from a medical school point of view, that was a positive. And then I'd already got an offer from Hull York University. So I was very sort of like relaxed going into the Liverpool interview, very jovial. And I remember they asked me the question of, oh, how did you cope with being in CAST for 9 months, just being still on a bed for 9 months? And I basically just answered Buffy the Vampire Slayer, just binge watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer for like 9 months, season one to whatever it was, and that got me through. It's just answers like that, jokey answers. I wasn't probably taking it. And then my brother was sick at the same time, so after I'd answered that, I'd said, actually, I didn't focus on myself, because I've always dealt with surgery after surgery after surgery, and I've always been, you know, had this disability. My brother never did, and he was so unwell, and that's all I could think about was not myself, was my brother. Yeah. And I think that kind of warmed them to say, actually, this is the person we like. Because it's not a case of me just saying, oh, the textbook answers, so why do you want to come into medical school? Well, I like teamwork and comm skills and all that stuff. it's stuff like, you know, this is personal to me. The reality is I've had a terrible year because I was not well. My brother was not well. My parents were crying all the time because, you know, they didn't know what was going on. It was just horrendous. And as a 18-year-old who my maturity level is not, you know, I'm not at the peak of my maturity level, is how I deal with this.
Yeah, but they got to see the real in
that. They've got to see the real in the real person. Yeah. And I think that's quite kind of what helped me actually. So although there's a lot of negativity with my disability of, you know, being abused and things like that, sort of like comments being made, actually from a medical school point of view, there's so much positive of, well, using it to your advantage to have a positive, really.
And really interestingly, when you started off, you said that you were made to feel like there was no barriers by your parents, which I think that's really struck out in you saying that. And did that stick with you through your teenage years and to keep your resilience up through these really difficult times that you're explaining here?
Yeah, because the people I used to hang around with, they always used to play football. We played cricket, and, you know, the friends I had at school, they were really sporty as well. And so they were my interests. So I remember, like, one of my close mates in primary school, you know, for his birthday, we'd go rock climbing, and I went rock climbing as well. We used to go swimming every week. So I was quite sporty. Yes, obviously, I wasn't quick because of my limp, but I tried,
yeah.
And I didn't see it. But I do remember, actually, in school, because I guess everyone in school were used to me, and I used to play for my cricket team. And I remember the first match I had, someone hit the ball, and I just noticed, like, I'm always aware that people are looking at me because of my disability. And I remember that I didn't run for it when I normally would, because I knew that they would laugh.
Right.
And I was just like, and then I remember the second match, I just thought, you know what? I don't really care. I just want to enjoy my cricket,
yeah.
And just play. And I remember the second match I played really well, and I didn't care. And actually, everyone after it actually were just like, you know, came to shake my hand and said, oh my God, you played really well and stuff like that. And they were just like, and at that age, I think I was, you know, 12, 13 at that age. So that was one of it was just stuff like that, really, where at the time I didn't feel that I had any barriers, and I was a lot fitter than I was. And at that time, yes, I would fall a lot, but a lot of my problems came when I was in med school rather than before med school.
Right.
Yes, I had a lot of surgery as well, and so I had to take a lot of time out. So that was, you know, a bit of an issue, but it was okay, recovering from surgery and obviously pain and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that impacted me a little bit. But yeah, I didn't feel there were any barriers because of the people I was with, and they made me believe that I didn't have any barriers, which was quite nice.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
You do talk about wanting to almost kind of hide your disability, though, initially in that first cricket match. You didn't want to show, put yourself on show in a way.
Yeah.
Has that stuck with you? Do you still sometimes feel like that? Or how do you feel in people perceiving you as having a disability now and back then in pre-med school?
Yeah. It's an odd one because I think, yeah, till this day, so I'm 38 now, so God, I'm old. I think I do hide it a lot, and I think pictures and videos are quite a key thing. Even back then, I was like, I'd walk, and I kind of, like, say there was a shop close to me, so we'd walk to the shop, and I'd notice, like, say there was a pub opposite the shop. So we used to get a lot of drunken people, like, hurling abuse at us, whether it's racist or commenting on my disability. And there'd be times, obviously, if I noticed, I would stop. I just wait for them to go, and then carry on, because I'm worried that I'm going to get that abuse, and those kind of things. And pictures-wise and videos-wise, I can't watch videos of me sort of with a limp and with that gait originally. And I guess what's worse now is that now I'm on crutches. I hate seeing pictures of me with crutches. So if there is a picture, like a group picture, I'll try and hide the crutches behind people if we're all in a line, or I'll put them down to then have the picture. I just won't save them on my phone. I don't save them on my social media.
Yeah.
I try not to. Just because I just can't cope with it, and I don't. It's just my insecurity of it, where I just don't like it.
You're sharing so much kind of personal stuff. Thank you, Imran. It's really interesting to hear your experiences. I wonder if we can go a little bit over to Georgia now. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences pre-med school?
Yeah, it's interesting. As you're talking, I realise there's so many similarities, but also, you know, in an antithesis to yours. I developed a disability quite late in life. I had it in my teens. So I was diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer at the age of 15, and went from being a very athletic, lively teenager to having cancer for 2 years of my life and living in a hospital and having to relearn to walk, as you said, after surgery. I did have to relearn, you know, walking after that surgery. So just to explain a bit more, I had a endoprosthetic replacement. So a bit of a, basically a really cool knee replacement. That's a bit bigger. it's quite large. I have to go to a specialist centre to get it sorted out. That's how interesting it is. So when you were saying like you had to relearn walking again, you know, that really resonated with me because I did have to figure out how I would feel being a 90-year-old woman in one leg and a 16-year-old girl in the other, whilst also going through some pretty horrific medieval chemotherapy. So I think it was quite a weird experience going from being so mobile and having really, you know, really high exercise tolerance as for, to, you know, not being able to do everything I wanted to. And at first it was really hard for me because my life was sport. My life was being an athlete, doing hurdles, horse riding. I can't do any of that anymore still because obviously can't hop. They removed a lot of muscles. It's quite an interesting disability to have. I don't think there's many people with this particular prosthetic joint. And also the particular anatomy that I've got, you know, the tumor kind of, you know, definitely changed my anatomy completely. So it means that the kind of challenges that I come across haven't always been identified as much before. Especially when you think about people getting this kind of replacement, if they do get it, like in the 70s. So when you look at how long it's going to last and when I've got to replace it again, I'm like, oh well, if it's 15 years in someone that's 70 and I'm wearing heels and running around a hospital, I'm sure it'll be less for me. In terms of applying to med school, like you, Imran, I emailed every university in the UK and I think I got 8 responses from what I can remember. And I explained to them like that I'd had 2 years of chemotherapy and that I only had 4 GCSEs while on chemotherapy and whether they would accept that as mitigation and allow me to enter with the predicted grades that I had. And, you know, I was really lucky in that I got a really positive response from most of those universities and ended up applying to Manchester as well. And I think Manchester stands out in my head the most because it was a really personal email basically saying that we recognise that, you know, your 4 GCSEs whilst having chemotherapy count just as much as somebody else's 12 GCSEs at school, which was really encouraging for me. I'm also lucky as well, like you mentioned your family and your friends that were really supportive. I was lucky that I had, you know, school that I'd been a part of since I was 4. So I think in terms of community, I had all that support. But there was some, hesitance from my school guidance counsellors and teachers to applying to medicine. But I think it was more like they wanted to protect me. They wanted to make sure that I wasn't stressed after having gone through what I went through at such a young age. And I think they thought that applying to medical school and being in the hospital every day would be quite triggering, which actually surprisingly isn't. I think, like you said, like I understand a patient journey a bit more. Maybe I'm used to hospitals because of that.
You've got a really unique perspective on things, both of you. You can see things from see the patient's situation from a different perspective, can't you?
For sure. And I think actually, when you said like your disability kind of made you stand out when you're applying, I completely agree. Like it made me stand out. I mean, my first sentence of my UCAS personal statement was, at 15 years old I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, and now it's a running joke that I put that in all of my medical applications, because if I'm going to use the cancer card, I may as well use it for things that are going to benefit me. I think going in, I was so focused on getting into med school that I didn't think about how my disability would affect me when I got there.
Yeah, that's the same.
Yeah. What's really standing out is, from both of you, your determination, your resilience, your kind of focus, and the fact you were both proactive in emailing the universities in advance of applying, putting your situation out there, I think is really... It's really positive to hear, really kind of astounding to hear, really. And I think a good lesson for other people kind of applying to medical school in similar circumstances. Or would you say, do you have kind of tips or advice you'd give to people in similar circumstances or that you might want to put across?
I think that if you're wanting a career in medicine, to apply for it, especially with a disability, because yes, I think that it is seen as a positive. And from a university point of view, they're more likely wanting to accommodate rather than you not apply. And seeing how can we help you rather than thinking, oh, you've got a disability, so we don't think a career in medicine would work for you, when actually that is not correct.
Yeah. What about yourself, Georgia?
I completely agree. I think... And actually, we're very lucky that, you know, when you apply to med school, the people on the other end have medical knowledge. And also, they will appreciate how hard you've had to work to apply and the impact it would have had on your life, perhaps in antithesis to other courses where they may not understand fully. So that doctor on the other end, they're going to know relatively... the impact it's had on your life, and actually they're going to see it as a bonus that you've managed to apply to medical school with all of those things happening. I think I definitely had that, especially in my interview. They asked me why I wanted to study medicine, and obviously I explained, you know, when I was 15 years old. And the interviewer just stopped me and went, let's pause the interview, that's amazing. And he just said, I'm an oncologist at, the Christie. And he just went, you know, I don't need to hear anymore.
Wow.
So your interview was on the right day then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on the right day. Can you imagine, out of all the cycles I got, somebody who would...
Who was an oncologist.
Yeah, it's like, they completely understand where you're coming from. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to worry that they're not going to understand how... you know, the barriers that you've had in the way, possibly.
Yeah. You've both shared such powerful messages, I think, to our listeners today. And I feel there's so much more to discuss with you both. And if you'd both be happy, I think we should come back and have another conversation and talk about how your medical school experience has been. Is that something you're both happy to do?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And thanks again for coming today and chatting with us about it, Georgia and Imran. And we'll see you again for the next podcast. Thanks again. Bye.